How have you not seen this?
Welcome back to How Have You Not Seen This? As always, it's me, your host, Dustin Meadows, joined once again by my guest host, Taylor Reinhardt.
Matthew Modine is a bad actor.
And our guest, Erica Van Hyde.
Hi.
And we just wrapped up Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy with The Dark Knight Rises. A flawed movie, for sure, but still one that I enjoy, praise slash criticize for all manner of things. Taylor fucking hates it.
I don't like it very much. I'm pretty bad on it.
Erica, how have you not seen this?
Okay, so this one I actually have a reason for not seeing it. Because I really liked The Dark Knight when I saw it in theaters when it came out. And then this came out a couple years later. It was 2 years later, maybe?
2012, 4 years.
4 years later, wow. Mm-hmm. And when this came out, the night this came out, I flew to France because I had just graduated from high school and I went to France the next summer.
Fancy.
And so I got off the plane the morning after this movie came out and there was a theater shooting.
Yeah, in Aurora.
And so I didn't see it because I was in France the entire time it was in theaters. But I heard so much about it because the entire time I was in France, they were like, oh, you're American. Like, let me lecture you about your gun laws because of this recent shooting.
Of course.
And so when I got back, I, like, had pretty much lost interest in seeing it because I was just really, like, bitter about it. And so that's how I've not seen it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So before we get into my and Taylor's well-documented thoughts on the film, what did you think of it?
I didn't like it.
That's fair.
And I don't know if I didn't like it because I'm exhausted about like,
because
Batman.
Because we just did two Batmans in a row?
But, no, I wasn't psyched on it at all. I think it could have been, like, a good hour shorter.
Yeah.
And maybe I would have liked it.
Definitely a fair criticism.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, no, I'm not a fan. I'm pretty exhausted by the experience of this movie.
Let me throw out very quickly my very short, I don't even want to call it a defense because I definitely understand why people don't
like
it.
I think we're going to pile on here, I think we should start with praise.
Yes, that's fair.
We should all do our praises first.
Part of the reason that I like this, a lot of it is because in spite of this movie's flaws, in spite of this trilogy's flaws, this is still some of the better Batman films we've gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is miles above and beyond what Batman Forever and Batman and Robin was, and I would argue even better than the Burton ones, which I don't necessarily dislike. I also accept that they're certainly nowhere near as good as they could have been. And I love Christopher Nolan as a director. Christian Bale is one of my favorite actors. He's one of those actors, I think I mentioned earlier, where even when he is an absolute dog shit, he's so good that he's able to elevate it to at least some point for me. I think the only time that hasn't been the case was Public Enemies. And that was just a bland movie, which was unfortunate. What else? What else positive do we have to lead off with before we just start shitting on this thing?
I think that in terms of seeing Batman fight, this is perhaps the best movie. Because they linger on tracking shots more, they work on choreography more.
It's not so quick, like those fast edits.
Yeah, and so, like, the action sequences have to be coordinated a little bit better, and certainly in Bane and Batman's
big throwdown,
that's a great, it's a great fight. Has to be coordinated really well, has to be planned really well,
mm-hmm.
and I think Nolan got away in the first two movies with just, like, beating on one another, and that's, like, And just cutting quickly through things, it's like, I assume Batman's winning this fight.
Yeah,
I don't really
know.
So that's a really cool thing. I like that. Again, I thought the movie started out excitingly. I think plenty of praise can be heaped on Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who
certainly, yeah.
I don't think his character was particularly interesting, but like
he
continued
good,
to shine through. I like how they dressed him in sweaters, because Joseph Gordon-Levitt can't be seen without a sweater.
Yep, yep.
So even as a detective, he's like... And that's actually why I thought he was promoted to detective, was so that they could get him in sweaters.
Just
so
he could
put
him in
the back half of the movie. And Anne Hathaway, I thought, really did a great job.
I do like Anne Hathaway a lot.
And her costume design was cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The costume definitely moves, like, especially when they go for realism, like they did with like the X-Men. They even make a comment in the very first Bryan Singer X-Men movie where Wolverine makes a joke about the costumes, like, oh, what would you expect? Like, yellow spandex or whatever.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of movies were like, oh, no, we have to go for realism. You know you're based on a fucking comic book with dudes that shoot lasers from their eyes, right? Like,
right.
You don't have to, like, oh, can't believe somebody would wear blue and yellow spandex, but a guy with claws that shoot out of his hand, that's okay, that's realistic.
Yeah, I really like, I think what they did with Anne Hathaway, though, is they give her those goggles, and
yeah.
The goggles, when
they're
put
functional.
Up, they look, yeah,
they
look like
catters.
Ears.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So it became like this sort of, like, this is definitely a Catwoman costume, but also kind of not. So
yeah.
That's, I think they did a good job with the realism of that,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that was clever, the goggles. And I think Anne Hathaway was maybe my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, Anne Hathaway is very good in this movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She's the only thing I liked about
the
movie.
I like when she's doing the maid, like, pose, their shoulders hunch, and then she just, like, sort of goes,
like,
into, like,
shifts when, like, she's,
yeah,
exposed.
Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah,
oops.
It's very good. It goes sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. And, I also liked the other girl. Like, I thought that whole reveal. At first, I kind of suspected it.
Oh, with Marion Cotillard. Yeah, it is Miranda Tate / Talia al Ghul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was one of the, like, the few twists that I liked in this movie.
Yeah.
Because that's a great character who, historically, Batman has fucked. So,
yeah,
it works.
There we go.
Right. But, yeah, that... well, now we're talking about Talia al Ghul. I genuinely, when she stabs him, I wasn't sure how the movie was going to end.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly thought Batman was going to die, Gotham was going to be destroyed, and, like, it was just going to be bleak as fuck.
Wait, how did Batman not die?
You know, good question.
He somehow ejected because he fixed the autopilot.
Right, that
but
was
kept going out of his way to say, oh, it'd be great if the autopilot worked to everyone. Like, oh, man. If I ever have to sacrifice myself, I'll probably die for real. No exit strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, again, it's part of that whole... One of the things I think is the mark of a pretentious movie is when characters are doing things that's like, wait, how could they ever have known that in advance?
Yeah.
Because it means that the writer's not writing for characters and plot. The writer's writing for their big thematic bullshit.
Exactly.
Which is, I think, the big downfall of both this and The Dark Knight. When
yeah.
it has missteps, that's why, I think.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's yet again another
yeah.
example of the
well,
bullshit.
Well, because that means that he also assumed that he had to have known in advance that the tunnel was going to get flooded. Because their plan was to
take it to
the bomb to there to stabilize it. So, like, and again, like, that's the thing, like, with the Joker's plan,
mm-hmm.
how could you anticipate every variable of that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
or...
Far too many variables.
Yeah.
Also, in a city that is no man's land, Gotham, where
yeah,
nothing, nobody can touch it, nobody can get near it, nobody can leave it, like, there is no way to make a plan.
Yeah. And then, of course, like, there's so many other questions, like, how the fuck did he get back?
Oh,
yeah,
yeah, that's the biggest question.
Assumedly, he's broke. Like, he's able to travel halfway around the world somehow without anybody going, oh, hey, Bruce Wayne, we haven't seen him in months. Like, there's like, no, we're cool about it. Like,
yeah.
the same people work around the world as work in Gotham, apparently. Oh, the SWAT guy I don't recognize. Go on through.
Yeah.
Yes.
There are like seven intelligent people in the entire universe.
And none of them are Batman.
I enjoyed that.
Who should be the most intelligent person in this universe?
I liked that in this movie, Gotham was finally like connected to the United States and there was like
yeah,
an
yeah.
outside.
Well,
I was
realized there was an outside world.
Right, I was thinking that in the other movies. I was like, where is the fucking government? Like, why is no
yeah.
one intervening except for like the cops of the city?
Yeah. One of the other things, while we're talking about other things you've embraced, two actors from Game of Thrones are in this, which I love. There's Aidan Gillen, who plays Littlefinger, who is the CIA agent at the
mm-hmm.
very beginning.
Right.
And I thought that was really cool. And then there's Bernd Gorman, who was Daggett's right-hand dude
that gets
exiled, who's like the lead mutineer of the Night's Watch in Game of Thrones. And I just, that was something I thought was really cool. Because I like both of those actors. Mm-hmm. I think they're very good. Mm-hmm. And I don't see them in a whole lot.
Yeah, they cast a lot of... Nolan did cast a good amount of, like, TV actors and things like that. Obviously not to the main roles, but Richard from Lost.
Yeah. Mr. Carbonell.
Yeah, and then this congressman was also a TV actor from Lost. A smaller part, Goodwin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do think that's always fun to see people from the cult shows you like popping up.
One other thing, you even said this during the movie, right after the scene where Bane breaks Batman's back, you made the comment, "All right, well, that's as good as the movie gets." You're kind of like, the best stuff happens in that first hour up to that point. One of my favorite, I love the opening scene with the airplane hijacking.
Okay.
Part of it, I really like that introduction to Bane. I think the logistics and the physics of that scene are kind of silly. But you get such a great idea of what kind of character Bane is, like, in that opening scene. Like, he's clearly ahead of the curve. Like, he thinks ahead. Like, mm-hmm. he plans very meticulous. And then he's also a fucking brute because he snaps his handcuffs and starts beating the shit out of people.
Yeah.
All the things. Like, I love Tom Hardy as Bane. And there are a lot of people that are like, "Oh, well, the voice threw me." And I've been reading on it, and like, his reasoning for that is he wanted a voice that conflicted with the physique, like, just to kind of, like, so the character was kind of disarming, so like, you never really had a grasp on him until you saw him in action. And that approach makes a lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. Plus, that's just a fun voice.
Oh, it's so, do it. You want to do it, just do it.
Well, there is one point, they say something, it was like, "Oh, it's getting captured, party players," goes, "Of course!" And I was like, alright, that one line just sounds like a fucking bad Mickey Mouse impression.
Well,
My favorite one
by far is the kids singing in high falsetto, and Bane goes, "Oh, what a lovely, lovely voice!" That's my favorite. I don't want to trash that scene, because I do think it's cool, and I think there's so much more to trash. It's just another one of those scenes where it's like, the guy put one person on the manifesto, and Bane has the one guy that he's going to leave to die. And like, is he going to die if, like, the guy put all three of them in the manifesto?
Yeah.
So why not just take your guy? Like, it all just continues to be, like, outsmarting.
The records, brother!
Did he stop the fire?
Fire rises! I like the idea, because throughout the movie, one of the recurring things I do think that is consistent is devotion to an idea or a cause.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Batman Begins, clearly, like, the League of Shadows, their dedication to justice. And then in the second one, you have, like, Harvey Dent with his dedication to the idea of hope and like, law and, like, that things can be done right. So, like, a world without Batman is necessary. And then in Dark Knight Rises, it's, like, this idea, like, I don't even really know, like, it's more League of Shadows stuff, but, like, Bane's men are so devoted to him that they're, like, if he tells them, like, "Yeah, you have to die in this airplane," it's like, "Oh, okay, that's cool. I'm not gonna fight you on that."
Yeah.
So, like, it's like, that kind of fanatic thinking behind it. And I do think that's one of the things that stays consistent throughout the trilogy. I do really like that.
One mm-hmm. thing that I noticed, that I will say, like, speak for as far as the trilogy as a whole, that I really liked in this movie towards the end, because the whole, like, him living in the prison for a while and then, like, climbing, that was, like, I don't know, that was kind of, but the reason I liked it, now having seen the whole trilogy, is it connected really well to that scene, like, what I think of as in the first movie, like, the changing moment. I mean, obviously, like, his parents dying made him Batman, but, like, really the changing moment was when he got out of the car, when Rebecca slapped him. Or
Rachel, whatever her name was.
I loved her so much, I forgot already. But when he got out of the car and he was talking to the mafia guy, and he was like, you know, "You'll never understand, like, you think you know pain because your parents died, like, you'll never understand
you
the darkness,
so
and, like, you know, blah, blah, blah." Because he, like, really, like, did not understand, like, that darkness in the beginning. And then even through the whole trilogy up until the point when he's, like, in the dungeon, because Bane's like, "You think you know darkness, blah, blah."
The darkness is your ally.
The darkness.
Remember the dungeon, Doc.
But then he, you know, like, that's kind of the moment where I think that he, like, knows darkness is, like, in this movie. And
yeah.
He's like, so I think that that was a good, and I mean, it was a good kind of callback to that, but they didn't actually flashback to that, which I was thankful for.
Yeah, yeah,
I did
definitely.
That a couple times.
Well, yeah, because, like, he loses his wealth, he loses, like, Alfred leaves him, like,
mm-hmm.
his only real friend, and then, like, and then he's, like, cast out of his city and broken, like, because all he has is Batman at that point, and then he doesn't even have that when he's thrown into this hole in the ground.
Right, exactly.
There's a weird thing with privilege in Batman, though, because I've heard a lot of people, there's been a backlash against Batman in the wake of, I think especially this movie, but just in general, where I've heard people talk about, oh, Batman's super privileged, and, like, he's just a kid. And, like, you had said it in the first one. I think that's fine.
Was
but
it
was
like
a
whiny entitled.
Yeah, whiny entitled. Yeah, twat was the word that you used,
yeah.
Erica.
I remember.
that's the academic
term. Yeah, right. But I think Batman, I think the character forgoes his privilege very intentionally when he moves abroad. He makes sure that nobody knows who he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he, like, really renounces it. So, like, I think that Batman takes the mantle of Batman having really renounced a lot of privileged things
certainly.
And mindsets. So, like, in this film, obviously we don't get any of that. In this film, he really stays privileged throughout, which, like, he may lose his wealth, he may lose all these things,
yeah.
but he's still Batman. He's still the marked one, the chosen one, Gotham's hero, blah, blah, blah. He still has all of his ideals to cling to desperately. I never saw a character arc in these three films that, like, I mean, some people think that Bruce Wayne was thrown through a character arc. I think it was a very weak one at best.
I think his character was the same throughout. Like, and there were so many blown moments in this movie. Like, one of the cringeworthy moments is when he sees Bane upon coming back. And Bane's like, oh, you came back to die with your city. He's like, oh, I came back to stop you. It's like,
stop you.
Like, that was it. That was the best you could come. Like, like, off the cuff, in his mansion, when Ra's al Ghul is about to kill him, he's like, you should be at my side. He's like, I'll be standing right where I belong, between you and Gotham. He's like, why didn't he get a line like that?
Yeah.
That's, like, that's such a great line. He's like, no, I came back to stop you. BT Dubs, you need to knock this shit off. Like, it's there's so many great, better things. He could have even not said anything and just headbutted him, and that would have been better than saying, I came back to stop you.
Yep. How about, who would have thought that Bane's weakness was punch him in the mask? How ridiculous is that? Hey, Chris Paul is interrupting our podcast.
No, that's all right. It's so fucking ridiculous. Like,
and also, what the fuck happened to his face? What happened to his face?
It was the plague. Like, there was a plague in the prison that they were in,
okay.
That affected him. And, like, the doctor fucked up the treatment, which was like the guy was, like, laying in a corner the whole time because Bane basically mangled him to the point where all he could do was sit up against the wall. So the mask was there to, like, kind of release, like, a pain reliever, so, like, it wasn't as unbearable for him, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that was why the mask was there.
Okay.
So, firstly, Batman punches him in the face so many times in that first fight.
Yeah.
And the mask holds perfectly.
Yeah, but somehow then, because he's angrier the second time.
Right. Yeah, which is ridiculous. I think, so here's the thing that I think about these movies that, I don't know if most people feel this way, but I'm gonna say it. I think that these movies are too euphemistic. Like, I think that they're for children, yes, and so, like, or at least, you know, they're selling toys to them.
Uh-huh.
But to me, like, remove some of these violent images before you remove the consequences of them. Like,
yeah.
The Joker does it, where he's killing people gruesomely, but, like, we don't see it.
Yeah.
And these movies are so bloodless. There's, like, zero consequence to any of the violence, which removes, like, a lot of the emotional stakes.
Yeah,
and, like, just the stakes
in
general.
Well, Matthew Modine gets shot to shit by a tumbler, and he's just laying there. No bullet holes, like, no blood, like...
Yeah,
like,
I thought there was blood on his glove, but it was just a mark.
Yeah, it was just, like, a cufflink or something, like... And then... How fucking shitty was that? Like, Gordon, like, basically shames Matthew Modine's character into action, only for him to be gunned down like a dog, and not really do much. Like, I think he kills Bane's right-hand dude that's by his side the whole movie. But, like, I didn't even catch that until this time watching it. Because, like, it's so quick. Like, you see him, like, go to climb into the tumbler with Talia, and then, like, he falls. I was like, oh, I guess Matthew Modine shot him? I don't know.
Yeah.
And, that, yeah, it's... it definitely, it takes away the gravity of the situation. That, like, you don't see anything that indicates that.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
And if we're talking about, like, consequences from the violence, there's also this big problem where, like, Batman and Gordon hold the moral high ground in these movies. And so, like, if we're looking at it only from the scheme of the story, like, obviously, there's no guarantee that either of them are going to live through this, and they're willing to make the ultimate sacrifice or whatever. But if we're looking at it from a storytelling perspective, we know that Gordon and Batman are going to be fine. We know that throughout. I mean, I never thought for a second that he was actually dead in Dark Knight, Gordon. So, like,
oh,
we know these characters are never going to die. So to have them going up to everybody and be like, hey, you need to try more, when they're peripheral characters that absolutely
are
going to
die.
There's, like, this really weird, horrible thing that comes out of the script where the lead characters who are safe prod other people to their
to
death,
their certain
which is pretty much what Bane's doing when he's leaving people in planes.
Yeah,
I mean, there's
like,
very little difference between
right.
the two.
Yeah.
Very, very little difference.
One of the other great things, though, Cillian Murphy pops up for one last time as Jonathan Crane / the Scarecrow.
Yep.
Even less screen time than before, but again, like,
no mask this time.
Yeah, no mask. But I like that, like, the right shoulder of his suit is, like, tattered a little, and it almost, like, looks like there's straw sticking out of
mm-hmm.
it, which I thought was a really nice visual touch. And again, like, he has, like, three or four lines, but he completely fucking nails it. Like, he knocks it out of the court. And I was actually reading, there was, like, a two-line segment cut from that scene, because Gordon says something about, like, it being, like, a sham court, like, what kind of due process is this? And it was written in the script and filmed, where Crane replies the same kind of due process that all the prisoners under the Dead Act received, which was none. Like, because, like, it gave them, like, more teeth and removed the rights of criminals. So it was really cool to kind of see that reversal of justice and that indictment of, like the restrictions that were taken away so the cops could do whatever they wanted, as opposed to it just being like, oh, these are just anarchists. It's like, no, this is an indictment of the system that, like, resulted in this.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then it got cut from the final cut.
Yeah.
So
what did you dislike about it the most, Erica?
I felt like there was, I can't even put a word to it. It just, like, was unrealistic to the point of being boring. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just, I just, like, lost interest in, like, there was just so much going on. It was so long.
Yeah, it's very busy.
And just, like, the, like, inability to believe that any of this, you know, I mean, obviously, like, none of it's going to happen because, like,
yeah,
it's a comic book.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was just, like, not, I felt like a very few of, like, the character reactions were, felt real to me. And, like, just the whole, I don't know, it like, the idea that the government would respond that way to that happening didn't feel real to me. And Bane's character didn't really make much sense to me, like, as far as his, like, motivation. I mean, and, like, the League of Shadows, that, I mean, obviously that whole motivation doesn't make any sense to me. And so then even as, like, Bane acting as their agent, but, like, not knowing it was, you know,
uh-huh.
that didn't really seem to make sense to me. I didn't have a grasp on his character as a villain. Yeah, I just, like, didn't really care that much about, like...
And the final twist comes at the expense of Bane's character.
Oh,
Bane
yeah.
is basically a puppy dog from the moment that... Or, yeah, after Talia stabs Batman, Bane now, we're like, oh, he was the pawn the whole time. Which
yeah,
obviously
he's
not, but he just... He then goes, well, I'm going to kill you anyway, ho, 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 and then
yeah.
is blown up by...
Yeah,
by
Batman's cannons.
Exactly. Many... You, obviously... could not help yourself but point out when Batman kills a man with a rocket.
He does! He shoots a fucking rocket at the truck that Talia and one of the other mercenaries is driving, and that dude dies as a result of the explosion and the shockwave from it. He slumps over dead, like, not even a second after the missile explodes by the truck. It's like, alright, that wasn't even like Ra's al Ghul in the first one. That wasn't even, I don't have to save you. That was, I just shot you and killed you with a fucking missile.
Yeah. It's, yeah, completely absurd. But yeah, I think there's a big problem with, so you guys like the twist. I didn't like the twist. I only liked the twist
with
because
Talia.
Because I was set up for 2 hours and 15 minutes to think Bane was this big bad guy.
Yeah.
And now he's not.
The reason,
and that's the worst done twist to me.
The thing that I liked the most about it is that I immediately suspected her because she became such a, like,
so
I was
close,
like,
to him.
Yeah, like, you were, like, you're just this girl that's, like, trying to get a meeting with him, and then, like, the second time you meet him, you're fucking him.
Yeah, you
like,
give it up the second his power goes out.
Right. Which, by the way,
yeah.
Sell one object in your house, you can pay your power bill for, like, 6 years.
Yeah. Well, and on top of that, like, that's not how utilities
right.
work. Like, some companies will let you go, like, 3 to 4 months without paying your bill before they send you a shut-off notice. He's been broke less than 24 hours, and they just shut the power off.
He's like, fuck you, Bruce
Wayne.
Well,
and on top of that, that's not how the New York Stock Exchange works.
Yes!
Because
yeah.
somebody breaks in, destroys everything, shoots multiple stockbrokers, and then they're like, well, obviously, everything that went across today will count.
Yep, yep, yep. New business closes after everyone's day.
Well, it's, you know, it's the Gotham Stock Exchange, so we don't know how that works.
Right,
maybe.
Yeah. Right, but, like, Gotham is supposed to be New
right,
York,
exactly.
so, like, this, we have to imagine that they went to the number one
right.
stock exchange in the world
yeah.
and shot up the place, and then all the the transactions went through anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is absurd. And, like, Lucius goes, well, we might be able to prove fraud, but it's going to take a while. How about the security cameras in which people are shot to death?
Yeah, yeah. There's no might be about it. You have video footage of them going in there, accessing it, and, like, starting up whatever they did.
Right.
Yeah. With, like,
completely absurd. Yeah. So much manufactured crisis in
yeah,
this film.
Yeah.
And then obviously the big theme of anything's a weapon in the wrong hands.
Yeah.
Was this film. And that's dumb. It's just generally not a theme that I think is too interesting.
Yeah.
Batman's hoarding every single thing that could help the world because it might hurt the world.
Yeah.
Which is so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that's never really resolved. That's never...
Yeah.
He never goes like, oh, you're right, I should let, you know, this stuff go into the world and hope that humanity uses it better. Which is what he's trusting at the end of Dark Knight and
yeah.
now clearly no longer trusts.
Yeah. I think one of the frustrating things for me, too, about this movie is how little Alfred is in it. Like, because I know we talked on the other films about how it was great to see Gordon and Alfred finally, like, get their time in the spotlight as, like, the valuable back, like, secondary characters that they are, as opposed to, like, just kind of pushed to, like, comic relief and whatever, like, in the Burton and the Schumacher films. And then in this movie, Alfred's in it, like, maybe 5-10 minutes, and then he's gone.
That was another thing that, like, I didn't under, like, Alfred's rationale for leaving was, like, this is a plot point.
Yeah,
for your
yeah,
character
yeah.
development.
It felt
and so
very unnatural.
He really did say, like, I need you to develop as a person
yeah.
by me leaving. I mean, it's very,
like,
yeah,
yeah.
so transparent.
And it's a bummer, too, because Michael Caine is so fucking good as Alfred.
Yeah.
And then, like, he's just cut loose, like,
yeah.
for that arbitrary purpose.
Both him and Gordon are given shit to say in this film. Where
yeah,
they had...
Gordon's in a hospital 3/4 of the movie,
yeah.
too.
For,
well,
like,
but
a
even once he gets out of it,
in a little swim.
Like, his bullshit defense to Joseph Gordon-Levitt about, like, I hope you have a friend to put your hands in the filth for you. Like, the metaphors were in the last movie, like, you
yeah.
know, with the Burma thing and all of that, and this is the size of a tangerine. But Alfred goes on this speech where he's like, sometimes someone gets thrown a pit of darkness and into darkness, spits more darkness out, and then you go back with the darkness into the
yeah.
darkness. I mean, it is just the biggest load
and
of bullshit I've ever
burns down the underground.
Yeah. It's so shitty. And like, both of them are given really, really terrible metaphors. To say.
Yeah.
You, Erica laughed immediately within the first, like, 5 minutes, or I guess the first scene after the plane crash, when Gordon goes, I'm here to tell the truth about Harvey Dent.
Oh my god.
But today's not the day.
Because
yeah.
nobody in the audience was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, what is the truth? Like,
yeah.
Everybody's like, woo, lies.
That's like going up to someone and being like, I have a really big secret to tell you. Oh, never mind.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, okay, never mind. Then.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
I'll forget
fine.
That you said that.
Except that it's a citywide press conference
right.
in which
about,
he did it.
About the hero of the city.
Yeah.
They'd like.
Yeah. Well, that, let's talk about the other thing. Gordon just keeps that letter on him all the time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He just, like, what if he fucking goes to, like, a policeman's ball and
well,
leaves it in the coat check and some nosy fucking coat check kid checks it out and is like, oh, fuck, I should probably tell somebody the Batman didn't kill Harvey Dent.
Wait, didn't he, like, meet Bane that night, though? Because I think that he had the speech on him because he was going to make it.
No, it was later. Because,
oh, it was later.
Because it was at least a couple days later. Because
they're chasing that, the congressman.
Yeah, yeah,
oh,
yeah. So
right.
At least a few days have passed.
Maybe he hasn't changed because he's, like, been looking for the congressman so furiously.
You're giving this movie too much.
But still, also, why would you keep, like, why would you even, like, type that letter out?
Like,
yeah.
As if,
like,
you forgot,
like,
what happened.
Yeah, like, oh, man, oh, shit. When my friend Harvey Dent died, I gotta write this out. I don't think I can do this memory. When he was turned into a psychotic villain and held my boy at gunpoint, and then Batman took the rap for saving my son.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, you never know when you're in a Red Lobster and you're gonna need to tell the truth about Harvey Dent.
Hey,
just stand up on his chair.
After the Cheddar Bay biscuits come around, I believed in Harvey Dent. Past tense.
Oh, and also another one of my favorite lines. The Batman did not kill Harvey Dent. He saved my boy.
boy.
It's such a great, great line. I love it so much.
Oh, God.
I'm trying to think other things in the movie that are equally ridiculous. What? Let's talk about some of the great things again. The scene where Bane kills Daggett. Is one of my favorite because he's so intimidating.
He was
like, where's Bane?
Pick
up the devil.
Yeah.
You shall appear. It's just like standing over there. Do you feel in charge?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, like if Bane should have just been that the entire movie. And he is that, like in 2/3 of the scenes he's in.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the final scene, it's so anticlimactic when Catwoman kills him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was
and then
such
quips
a,
about the guns.
Yeah,
just
that was
quips.
Such a bummer because, like, Bane pulled the shotgun. I was like, Batman might really die, but maybe he'll get like a second win, like, and be motivated or something to save his city, and there'll be another really awesome fight. And then, no, he just got shot.
Yeah. Well, and there's a huge problem with this John Daggett character. First, the Daggett name is either a throwback to the animated series or comics that go back further. But John Daggett is such a Weasley character that has the gall, and I just think this is poor writing. I don't think it's like a character point they intended, but he has the gall to call Bane pure evil. When he got Bane, he hired Bane to orchestrate a coup of a government, a bloody coup to secure some mining rights. Like, Daggett is pure evil.
It's necessary evil.
Right. It's just, that's so annoying when characters start throwing around, I'm good because this. And they're like, no, you're actually bad because that.
Yeah.
I want to know how, like, how they didn't foresee, if Bruce Wayne had the authority to appoint his replacement, how did they not see that he would do that and not just, like, give Daggett the control of the company? Like, how were they like, oh, we never foresaw him choosing somebody else.
We never figured he would have picked the babe on the board.
Right.
Yeah. Look, Wayne Industries is apparently run by 80 people sitting in the attic, and even once everything goes wrong, they're like, well, we're not going to leave.
Yeah. Well, like, it's so, like, I don't understand the way it works, because it doesn't seem like it works like a regular business. Like, it's Bruce Wayne's company, but, like, I guess he doesn't have a say if he goes bankrupt or whatever? Like, granted, I don't understand how business works.
Right, there is that. I'm sure it makes some sense in some manner. But yeah, I think the board, each movie, the board gets bigger as well.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, it was like a Mel Brooks movie panning down the entire
like
board.
Yeah, it's like
goddamn
Gremlins, like somebody sprinkling water on the board or something.
Yeah,
because
in Dark Knight, the board was like half the table and Bruce Wayne sleeping like halfway through. And then, in this movie, it was
and
like...
Christopher Nolan's like, let's fill that long, nice table up.
More white people! I need more white people!
We need white men in this table.
God, the amount of old white men in this movie series. It was Dark Knight where they had that character Wurtz, who was like the bad cop. They looked like every single one of the other cops.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, which one's Wurtz? I thought the guy who beat up the Joker this time was Wurtz. There are just so many old white guys.
Yeah, who can even tell anymore?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, it's just the worst.
Yeah, any other plot holes we wanted to lay into?
Well, I mean, there's plenty of... Once Batman comes back, I mean, there's a million problems with just the physics of all of it.
Yeah.
Namely, 3,000 cops. Oh, we haven't talked about ordering the cops in sewers, which we have to talk about. But, like, 3,000 cops grab their pistols and charge into equally as many mercenaries with automatic weapons and apparently win. Like, they would have just been gunned down. There were
like
three tumblers shooting
at
as well.
Like, just open, like fucking Revolutionary War. Like, open field combat.
Yeah,
it makes no sense.
Not to mention 3,000 cops that have been, like, underground for 3 months.
Fatigued.
Yeah. Probably, like, didn't get enough rations. Probably starving.
Yeah.
And they're just like, yeah, like,
yeah, I'll go
we're
fight
ready
everyone.
To fight.
So they charge, and the machine guns all start hitting,
like
the ground.
Yeah.
And then, like, the bullets keep retreating further away, like, as they advance. I was like, why are they leading their targets? That makes no sense.
Yeah, just gun down.
Run where the bullets hit! Run where the bullets hit!
Yeah, the war with the cops was so unbearably awful. Not just because of Matthew Modine, which was absurd.
Yeah.
But, again, it's Batman and Gordon leading. And they're basically, the cops' war is basically a distraction. So they get rid of the nuke. So it's just sacrificing.
Don't die so I can save the city.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's. Yeah, Michael Jordan telling Scottie Pippen to go fuck himself. Like,
that's
really what this whole thing is. Yeah, just really, really infuriating stuff there. The nuke, the physics of the nuke are not explained, because, like, there's a nuclear bomb exploded in the bay. There's going to be a lot of radiation poisoning. Like, nobody's out of the woods. Yeah. Nobody's out of the woods. Everyone's in trouble.
Yeah.
Also, I like how confident and, like, low to the city he was flying.
Yeah,
I was like, go up a little
just
bit.
Just like a helicopter in Dark Knight.
Just in case that explodes a little early, like, you just fly a little up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and he could have, like, flown the tumbler straight up in the air and exploded it in the, like, in space, like Superman or something.
Exactly.
That's how Superman would have handled this shit.
Now he's like 20 feet over the ground.
Yeah, no, that'll work.
As the unstable nuclear bomb bounces off of, like, stoplights and buildings.
Yeah,
he's like, my last act is just gonna be to destroy more of this fucking city. Like, I just wanna wreck more
of the it's that reckless fucking disregard.
Yeah.
Like, cause he did the same thing in Dark Knight, too. Like, during that chasing with the Joker, like, he's just blowing up cars in front of him. He doesn't know, like, the trajectory of the impact.
Yeah.
Like, one of those cars could have flown into the car with the kids pretending to shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't fucking
care. And
I'm
surprised
Batman.
He didn't shoot those kids' car. Like, he's shooting all the other cars out of his way. And he's like, oh, I know that there are kids in that one. Swerve around.
Yeah.
There's so many
problems.
What if
somebody getting a fucking blowjob in one of those cars he blew up? Yeah. How would you know? That's a prime space for fucking blowjobs is a parked car.
It's true. It's true. Parked cars are like... It's in Batman the Animated Series, they would always, like, kill robots very gruesomely. Because it's like, they're not people. We can just get
them
down.
Yeah, it's not blood.
And so that's how this trilogy treats property. It's like, we'll do all the
property damage we want.
All the
titillating You're never going to see a bullet hole.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and you don't. I tried to count this time that we watched the amount of times we saw blood that wasn't on, like, Bruce.
Yeah.
And it's like, Ra's al Ghul has a little bit of blood dribbling down
after he's...
Yeah, no, after... It's not Ra's, it's actually, the fake...
Oh, yeah. Ken Watanabe.
Yeah,
when the beam... Yeah.
Yeah, which is just silly.
I think one of the most frustrating things of this is that Nolan did not commit to the premise of Batman dying. Like that he didn't commit to killing Bruce Wayne. That, like, he had to have that twist of, like, oh, he survived. I was like, fuck you. I cried when I thought Batman was dead when I watched this. Like, and, like, very few non-Pixar movies move me to that point. And, like,
so, is he committed to this being the last...
Yes,
movie?
It's
his
last movie.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, Nolan's done.
A new Batman is going to pop up
in the next Superman.
Yeah,
one.
Superman.
Which Nolan's, like, executive producing, like he did with Man of Steel.
Basically, they have to put Christopher Nolan's name on it to try and sell it. Like, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, Zack Snyder
kind of
comes with a warning.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, like, that really pissed me off. Like, and, like, I was devastated. I was like, oh, man, like, one of my favorite characters, like, just got killed. And then, like, as soon as I saw Michael Caine, I was like, oh, you fucking kidding me? That fucking villain getting this fucking tear, whatever. And then, like, the show was like, oh, fuck you. Are you kidding me?
Also, and here's another big problem with this trilogy is that, like, Batman in the comics and in every incarnation of Batman ever, he has to be Batman. And, like, you can argue, like, Frank Miller, Batman creator, would say that it's a compulsion, he can't ever stop, and he's mentally ill. And then other Batman creators say, no, this is just the only thing that makes him happy.
Yeah.
And, like, so, whichever way you go, the one truth is that he's got to be Batman.
Yeah.
And Nolan spits in the face of that multiple times. And then when Bruce goes to the hospital and they're like, you have all this damage to you, when was that incurred? He was Batman for, like, a total of, like,
a year,
22
maybe.
Months.
Yeah, he has
and
no
really,
part
yeah.
of it, just like...
because he was doing a year, maybe a year and a half in between Dark Knight. Then we're left to believe that after the events of Dark Knight, he is not Batman again.
For 8 years.
Batman for like a week.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, he was Batman really for like 20 months or less.
Yeah.
And he's 8 years later, he's still using a cane from falling 20 feet out of a parking garage that he like ran away from. He got up
and sprinted away.
Not the car that he fucking landed on from falling off of his fucking penthouse.
Yeah.
But the 20-foot drop.
Yeah.
Maybe he slept on it funny.
Yeah, it's completely absurd. Then he kicks the bricks like a fucking Captain America or something.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah, just plenty went wrong here.
Yeah, what I don't understand too, like the setup with Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character implying that he's taking the mantle of Batman. Why even set that up? Because you know that's not going to happen.
Like actually, like
the
movie's
not
going to be.
Yeah, like there's not going to be a follow up. Like it's just frustrating.
Yeah.
Like I feel like they latched so much onto the ideas and the symbolism, like we talked about. That, like they didn't like think to give a shit about the characters and the actual story, and that's frustrating.
Yeah. But I think it's also like an issue is that like after Dark Knight and then Inception mainly, but just the hard hitting time of those two movies, like at this point Nolan is a rock star. Like
he can
do no wrong with any film that he makes. And so like he has full control over this movie. It is all him. He starts messing around with like Occupy Wall Street themes that don't really ever sync up.
Which
like,
is disappointing because I'm a fan of class war in movies.
Yeah.
Like big time. And like.
He does this very wrong because the rich guy wins in the end, but technically he wasn't. And then there's that one cop who's there to be like all smugly, like, I keep my money in a mattress. This isn't my money. Oh my god!
That was
a hostage situation.
That was this movie's version of the "Have a nice trip, see you next fall" cop.
It was. Oh my god! Yeah, the cops in these series. At least they put Joseph Gordon-Levitt in. They probably like we have to characterize cops at least a little bit better.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt been a cop for long enough to get promoted to a detective, kills two guys in the line of duty, throws his gun away.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck sense does that make?
Yeah.
Like, the city is under siege by armed mercenaries. He feels bad because he did his job and throws his gun away.
When
like,
people were going to kill him.
Yeah, like, I get this, like, the symbolism behind that. Like, but again, like, that's them pushing, like, to force an ideal down our throats. Like, you could have him shoot them, holster his pistol, and still make it apparent that he's not happy about it.
Yeah.
Like, and then, like, later, like, the thing, like, with him, like, quitting the force because, like, the cops on the bridge following where it's like, I get it. Like, there's so many better ways to do that, though. Like, cause basically they made his character go, like, this Dirty Harry route where, Dirty Harry, like, by the end of the first movie is so frustrated with, like, how lenient, like, the law is towards criminals and how concerned they are with, like, the civil rights of criminals and everything despite the fact that they're fucking murderers. So, like, the movie ends with him throwing his badge in a fucking river. Because, like, he's just gotten yelled at for rescuing a school bus full of children from a fucking nutcase.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and it's so much more natural and organic. And this, like, it just feels shoehorned. It's like, oh, he hates guns. Oh, he hates working within the constraints of the law. Prime candidate for Batman, even
and
though Batman uses guns.
Well, he can also tell Batman by just looking into one person who visited
what
his
right,
orphanage's
right.
eyes.
He's like, I could tell you were also an angry orphan, and therefore, obviously, Batman.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't follow that either.
Yeah.
I thought it was new.
But again, when you look at Spider-Man, I think the same thing.
Yeah.
What
right.
the fuck? Oh, Peter Parker. Oh, man, your Uncle Ben. Oh, you Spider-Man.
Well, but, like, in his defense, this Batman thing is really fucking transparent because he's stealing everything from Wayne Industries. Lucius Fox in Dark Knight, we didn't talk about this in the last podcast, tells Colin Reeves, go back and look at all of our numbers. Just do it.
Yeah.
And he's like, I found bad things.
And then doesn't deny that Bruce Wayne is Batman, just says, you think Bruce Wayne is
basically
Batman?
Threatens him. I never read that as a threat, but, like, as I looked at it this time, he was like, oh, if you do this, Bruce Wayne will first bankrupt you, then he'll beat you up on a rooftop.
Yeah.
Which is terrible. Yeah, that's really bad.
I was really disappointed that Gordon was so surprised that it was Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
I was like, because I figured that he knew at that point.
In the comics, it's always, like, never addressed that he knows, but, like, he totally knows.
Yeah.
And that's the coolest way to do it.
I also, I hate that he, like, out loud, he says, Bruce Wayne. It's like, You just flashback you putting your coat on him. We all remember that scene. You don't need to say it. We know who that little orphan kid was sitting in your office.
Yeah.
Like, it was two movies ago. Nobody has forgotten your pivotal, life-changing moment with orphan Bruce Wayne, who became orphan Batman.
Fun crossover would have been if they showed that and then he went, huh, Peter Parker.
Yeah.
That would have been great.
Oh, man. All right, do you guys have anything else to throw out here for Dark Knight Rises or the trilogy on the whole?
Oh, man. I don't know. I feel like I have more. I feel like I could talk forever.
Oh, I know, but in the interest of time.
Yeah. Erica, so we watched this all together. We did it. We did 10 hours. Your final impression overall, was this worth it?
Okay. I'm glad that I have seen it. I would not... My ranking of the movies, I like Dark Knight a lot.
Okay.
In retrospect, Batman Begins, I liked. Like, I would maybe watch that again. I would probably never watch this movie again.
That's fair.
But I'm glad that I saw them all. And I think it gives me a whole, like, new perspective on, like... And, like, talking to you guys who know a lot about it, like...
Yeah.
Opens up, like, my mind to a lot of it. And, yeah, I don't know. It'll be a while before I ever want to see a Batman movie again.
That's fair.
It's good. We defended privileged white men
yes.
adequately.
Yep.
I'm glad we did it. Glad
yeah,
we provided the world that
privileged
service.
White men have it these days.
Poor guys.
Good. Well, I'm glad you stuck through it with us. This was a lot of fun.
This was fun. Thanks for having
no
me,
problem.
Us. Yeah.
Me too,
absolutely.
Yeah.
We'll definitely do this again in the future, but maybe not with Batman movies. Cool.
Good.
So that's been the Dark Knight Trilogy. Thanks to Taylor Reinhardt for being my guest host. And thanks to Eric Van Hyde for sitting through 10 hours of Batman with us. All right, we'll catch y'all next time.
Join me next time as I take Peter Brick and Tim Myers through the Arnold Schwarzenegger action film Last Action Hero. Make sure to like how if you've not seen this on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and send any mail, questions, comments to the show for how have you not seen this podcast at gmail.com. Catch you next time.